तमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। हरिः ॐ। मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस, मे ही नरिश अस, मे वी वर्क टुगेदर विथ ग्रेट एनर्जी, मे अवर स्टडी बी विगरस एंड फ्रूटफुल, मे लव एंड हार्मोनी ड्वेल अमंगस्ट अस। ओम पीस पीस। As already announced, we will discuss at least parts of this Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad. It is one of the important Upanishads coming under the 10 important, Dashopanishad, 10 important Upanishads. Why this is important? There is one simple reason for that. In ancient days, these Upanishads had become obscure. So it is the great Shankaracharya who brought them out. All credit goes to him. And then he chose these 10. Isha, Kena, Katha, Prashna, Mundaka, Mandukya, Taittiriya, Chandogya, Brudharanyaka, Aitreya, 5, 10. And then some people had one more also, Shvetashvatara also may be there. So they're all. So amongst these 10, this is one of them, Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad. It is Mundaka, it refers to the razor. It is like a razor, Mundaka Upanishad. What does a razor do? It cuts. Especially it cuts hair. Cutting hair like that. So hair represents the all ignorance, worldliness, the world, all that. So it cuts off that. This, the knowledge contained in this is removed like that, cut off from that. I think it says like this in here, in the introduction. Yes, it's a razor, a word etymologically denoting a shaving razor, and a person with a shaven head, namely a sannyasin or a monk. Because Upanishad. Later, Shankaracharya explains the meaning of this Upanishad. Upanishad itself means knowledge. Knowledge that is learnt at the feet of the Guru, sitting devotedly near the Guru, you learn this. There are different kinds of knowledge. Knowledge ordinarily, when we say knowledge of physics, knowledge of biology, knowledge of psychology, knowledge of this, knowledge of that, computer science, knowledge of computer science, it's all there. They bring about different effects. If you know them, you can do certain things. But what kind of knowledge is this? This knowledge destroys the bonds of ignorance leading to liberation. It liberates. This knowledge, knowledge that is spoken of here, it removes ignorance. It cuts off ignorance. Then you become free. It is spiritual knowledge. You become free from liberation. Knowledge, sometimes it is talked about. Knowledge is there. What's for knowledge? There are so many other different types of knowledge you have. What kind of knowledge is this? What is the utility? We talk about utility, practical life. How practical it is. Why this? Why all this spiritual knowledge? It will make you free. Knowledge that makes you free. So this kind of knowledge will make you free. When you know this, that is why it is very, very practical. What other practical, what more practical do you want? It releases you from all this. Releases you from the whole cycle. You have been caught in so many things, you know. How that is at length in Vedanta that it talks about. It doesn't talk much about evil or sin like that. But it talks much about this ignorance. Avidya. Ignorance brings bondage. Ignorance and bondage, these are the words used, bondage, bandhana. Why should you not do it? You'll be trapped in that. That's why you should not do it. We understand very well that, you know. After death you will be punished in hell. Oh, it's too far away. Or who knows whether hell is there or not. But here, I know even a little bit of my lack of freedom. If my freedom is taken away even to a little extent, I feel uncomfortable about it. Then I don't like it. I fight it. So, that is what happens. You lose your freedom. That is why you should not do it, you know. You should get rid of that bondage. All this, the so-called sin and bad things and vice and all those things, they're all put in this. Why should I not do that? Why should I not hit other person? Why should I not lie? All these things, so many things are there. Why should I not do it? See, you don't know psychologically. Most of the things externally itself you will know how you are trapped. Psychologically, you will see you are trapped. Just give a little thought. Look within, you will find how after doing things, like we do something rude to someone, they're rude. And look within. You say, I feel petty. What is when petty-mindedness? It is confined to a small thing, petty. I feel petty. Or my duty is there, I forget my duty. Lapses. You know, they talk about it's all errors of omission and errors of commission. I omit something. I should have done it. I don't do it. I remember I should have done it. All these make us small, you know. Make us feel small. No, I should feel free. A sense of expansion. Sense of expansion must be there. That's why we go here, there, traveling and then doing this, doing that. And then all sorts of harmful methods also do. Drink and then this, we know all those things. So, such things all the Vedanta speaks in those terms. What happens? It is bondage. And the opposite, what does this knowledge bring? It will remove the bondages. That is the practical use. The spiritual knowledge, spiritual insight, the spiritual dimension we get, it will remove the bondage. Bondage of what? It goes to the into the depth. All the cycle, birth, bondage of the body, bondage of the mind, bondage of the ego, all that. All these bondages are there. All of us have experienced this bondage, how we feel small. Birth, they'll put all together in this cycle of the samsara chakra. Samsara, the whole cycle is called samsara. Birth, growth, decay, death. After death, rebirth, and then again going on like that. So that is why when they are not very, very particular about knowing after death, it is between the next birth and this death, what happens exactly. I don't know whether you have studied that. I have not found anything very, very convincing exactly. So many Puranas, mythologies are there. Soul goes here, soul goes there, soul goes there, comes there. Whatever it is, that whole cycle, you will cut that. That is the advantage of the spiritual knowledge. And then it talks about that. It is true. It is so many other things also are there, like the cosmology. Cosmology it talks about. And then after death also sometimes it talks about. But the main purpose is the spiritual knowledge. Purpose of the Upanishad. That is why in the very beginning itself, it may come this afternoon itself, otherwise tomorrow it will come. It distinguishes between the two. One type of knowledge does so many other things, aparavidya. And there is another type of knowledge which is most important for us, which only scriptures can give, teachers can give, your own experience can give, that is the spiritual knowledge. So, that is the purpose of this book. And Mundaka, it removes all those, that razor, cuts off ignorance and then you become free. Now after a good shave, haircut, how do you feel? A great relief. Great relief. And then this also means symbolically a monk or a nun. That is wherever there is spiritual this monastic tradition, there you will see this, they remove the hair, haircut. Not haircut, shave, shave there. Once we watch here the one documentary film, one film on St. Francis. St. Francis had some disciples, you know? Who knows? Four disciples, women disciples.
Saint Clare,
one of them, yes. So, when he was giving the monastic vows, first thing is he cuts off hair. I was watching that, what he will do, he cuts off the hair. Then even the Muslims, when they go for this Hajj and all that, they completely shave and then go. So it's symbolic. Symbolically, it is an hair is removed. Once we asked one of our Swamis, what is the significance? Why should we shave? It is this. It represents worldliness and ignorance. And symbolically, you will cut off all those things there. It's gone.
you are free. Freedom has come. So this, psychologically you will free, inwardly you will free, that inner freedom will come. So here, that kind of knowledge, cosmology, and then prayers, different things are there. And then here and there, some rituals also are there. But it comes under Jnanakanda. That means knowledge portion of the Vedas. The other one is Karma Kanda, ritualistic portion. But still here, reference. Why do they refer here sometimes? It's because of this. How limited they are. Results will come by doing, going to heaven. It's all right. It's very momentary. Just to show that. But the real thing is this, where you are not born at all, the bondage of the body, bondage of the mind, bondage of the ego, all this will go, then you will become a pure, free spirit. That Atman alone, you are that. Brahma Veda, Brahma Iva Bhavati. When you know that, you are that, the what, that knowledge comes. So that is the subject matter of this. And then, as with all other Upanishads, it starts the peace invocation. Peace, peace, peace. Peacefully we should discuss this. Everything, all other things, calm down, calm down, calm down. Peace, peace to you. There are so many... traditionally, there are three types of obstacles. What are those? Adibhautika, adidaivika, adhyatmika. What is that? Adhyatmika. That means what comes from inside, body and mind, those problems, those obstacles, those come from outside. Those come from unknown sources. May all be just, at least for the time being, keep quiet. Peace, peace, peace. I said three times, peace, peace, peace. They all keep quiet. Don't disturb me now. Don't disturb me now. That attitude, something comes up, oh, I have not done this, I have not done that. I should have finished it before coming to the retreat. Wait. Wait a little. Until after the retreat is over, we will attend to all those things. Now, it's all. So it's all creating a mood, an inner environment. It is necessary. They are very, these Vedic teachers are very particular about this. Because it's a very important subject, very subtle subject. Why don't you come here, this place, or anywhere? This is what we are talking, we are not in a hurry. Creating an environment inside the mental environment. Peace, peace, peace. It should not be, anything should not be done in a hurried way, disturbed way and all that. Especially this one. Because this is very subtle. It's a very subtle subject. Though it is so intimate to us, it is very subtle. It is so deep. And then we have closed our eyes to that. We have to open our eyes. So, very seriously, calmly, study this. So that is peace, peace, peace. Now the peace chant for this is what we usually do on Sundays, Bhadram Karne Bihi. Bhadram Karne Bhish Sunayama Devaha, Bhadram Pashye Makshavirya Jatraha, Thirairangai Sustuvagam Sastano Bihi, Veshema Devahitam Yadayuhu, Swastina Indro Vruddhashravaha, Swastina Pusha Vishwavedaha, Swastina Starksho Arishtanemihi, Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. O worshipful ones, Devaha, may our ears hear what is auspicious. A prayer, prayer to the cosmic forces. Cosmic forces or the worshipful ones, cosmic forces. May all of you be propitious, propitious to us. And then our ears, see which our ears and then eyes and all these should be cooperative, you know. Supposing we are discussing, the eye, the ears don't want to hear. What am I hearing this, you know? Eyes don't want to see properly these things. So, may our ears hear what is auspicious. May be efficient to worship, see with our eyes what is auspicious. May we sing your praise and then live our allotted span of life in perfect health and strength. Prayer for health and strength. May we be strong, may we be healthy. All these are necessary for proper understanding of things and study of these. For any work, all these things are necessary. But this is specially health. Shariram adhyam khalu dharma sadhanam. For the practice of dharma, body comes first. That is why taking care of the body also is very, very important. Not indulging, pampering, it is not that. What makes it healthy, what makes it strong, it is that. The other things in Swamiji's language makes the body weak, mind weak. All soft things and then exciting things and all these things only we eat and deal with, then everything becomes weak and then it is not suitable. So keep like that. That's a prayer. May we do like that. May all these cosmic forces around us be propitious, be helpful. May we see all those things auspicious. Auspicious, bhadram, helpful, helpful, auspicious. May they all become helpful to me. He's preparing the ground. Big things are going to come. It's all preparation for that. Body should be healthy, mind should be healthy. Even in your practice of yoga, they'll talk about, you know, preparation of the body and mind. Suddenly we go and then on hearing a lecture, I want to meditate. It is not easy. It won't come like that. Prepare yourself. The along with that, along with our sadhana, spiritual discipline, should be included, preparing the body. It's not once you prepare and it is over. Every day it's the preparation for that. Preparing the body, preparing the mind, so that they become helpful in our spiritual practices. Here it is one stage, first stage, understanding of this. To develop our capacity to grasp, samarthya. That leads to the other one. What are the, you know, scriptures speak about the qualification necessary. qualification necessary. If he is to see the Vedanta Sara, he puts it for an ideal student. Ideal student, how he or she should be. If we see that, we lose all confidence in ourselves, because so much is expected there. So that made it, makes it, that is for an ideal student. But they can be modified. Arthitva samarthya. You should be interested in that. You should be interested in all this. Mundaka Upanishad, study of the Upanishad, all this, you should be interested. And then you should have the capacity to understand, that's all. And that capacity can be developed by all these different means. So, doing all this, taking all these steps, we want to make ourselves as fit as possible. Our maximum for the day. Do that, our maximum for the day. So many obstacles, and then so many things are there. The past will become bothersome. All this, put aside. Peace, peace, peace for all that. So calmly discuss this. There's no hurry, no examination afterwards, and no grades, no questions will be asked. No questions will be asked. It's not, those conditions are not there. It is knowledge for knowledge's sake. It is for knowledge. It is for my self-realization. It is for that. All the other considerations, they may come, they may follow that. We don't have any other considerations. No consideration of building up a career. By doing this, will I get a certificate? No one will give you a certificate. That kind of knowledge also is there. It comes. That kind of knowledge is there. In the same book, another kind of knowledge also can come. No, here we don't discuss that. We don't. It's not for that. The purpose is only this, that self-realization or knowledge of truth. So, with this introduction, let us begin. We get how many? 1, 2, 3, 4 meetings. 3 more. That's all. All right. We'll do selections. In all the Upanishads, one of the questions that is discussed is this, about this universe. Actually, there are 3 more. Universe, Jagat, Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. The individual and the universe and the Lord, God. These are the main topics. And each Upanishad has its own way of dealing with it. So Brahma, the creator and protector of this universe, arose first before all the gods. To his eldest son Atharvan, he imparted the science of the spirit, the basis of all sciences. So how does this science come, originate? It is from Brahma. Brahma, the creator. From the very beginning it is there. Slowly it arrives at the idea that it is eternal. How did it manifest? The creator and protector of the universe arose first for all the gods. And then he had this knowledge. He was born with that. And to his eldest son, Atharvan, he imparted this science of the spirit, the basis of all sciences. What did he teach? Brahma vidyam, sarva vidya pratishtam, Brahma Vidyam, the knowledge of Brahman, he taught to his eldest son. He imparted the science of the spirit, the basis of all sciences. This is the theme of this book. The basis of all sciences. The basis of all sciences. Again, coming back to that spiritual knowledge. What is the greatness about that spiritual knowledge? That is the basis of all sciences. Basis of everything. It is the basis of everything. He taught that. Sarva vidya vidya pratishtham atharvaya jeshtaputraya praha. To his eldest son Atharvan, he imparted the science and the spirit, the basis of all sciences. Adhyatma vidya vidyanam. Of all the sciences, of all the branches of knowledge, this is it. Lord Krishna says, I am the Adhyatma Vidya. I am the science of the spirit. That means the spiritual science, because it is the very basis. I am the very basis of that. That means it underlies everything. Any science you name that is built on this science, that has developed from this science, it's a computer science. It was not there some... When did it come first? Popular. Computer science.
What, 70s? Mid-70s that
it started. Mid-70s. So, where did it start from? Even for that, this is the basis. If you go, the basis is this. You will end up with the spiritual science. One of our mathematics teachers used to brag about mathematics. He would say, do you know, real mathematicians become philosophers. And further he did not go. He became Norse of Brahman. So the basis of all sciences. And then what Brahma imparted to Atharvan, even that science of the spirit, Atharvan imparted to Angiras in olden days. Angiras passed it on to Bharadwaj Satyavaha, and he in turn to Angiras. Thus the science descended from the greatest sages to lesser ones. It has been coming from that. What is the origin of this? Origin of origin. Really it has no origin because it is the very basis. But the expression of it, actual expression, the science descended from the greatest sages to lesser ones. It came from the sages. The Norse of Brahman, rishis. Rishis, Bharadvaja, Angirasa, Paravaram, the greater ones are the senior ones to junior ones, Paravara, senior ones to senior. So it has come down like that. It has come down from Brahma, the creator himself, it has come. This is so precious, so great. This is one of the ways of emphasizing the importance of this knowledge. They sometimes call it a figure of speech, arthavada. That means to impress on you. Do you know what kind of science is this? It's ordinary. It's not ordinary. It has come from God only. It has come from Brahma, creator himself has come. So precious. And what is that knowledge? Shaunakoha vai mahashalo angirasam vidhivad upasannaha praprachha kasminnu bhagavo vignate sarvamidam vignatam bhavatiti. Shaunaka, this is one of them in this line of teachers and students, that famous householder, Mahashala, the great householder, once approached Angiras in the manner laid down by the scriptures and questioned. He comes to Angiras, the teacher, and asks a question. If you all can remember the question as it is here, and then or in Sanskrit, if you can. Kasminnu bhagavo vignate sarvamidam vignatam bhavati. What is that knowing which everything in the world becomes known? What is that knowing which everything in the world becomes known? Say one thing. So, this is talked about at length by our commentators. An important question he asked the teacher. What is this? Knowing which you know everything. They say this is not entirely new. The hint is given, it is always there. He had heard. People were talking about these things. There is something. A natural question or suspicion inside, there must be something. There must be something. What? There must be something by knowing which everything is known in this world. Like when you are tired of all these different things doing, can I not do one thing? Like a magic wand. If I had that, how nice it would have been. One thing, everyone separately, lying on one wand, you just touch that. So they dreamed of this philosopher's stone. You know, you heard of philosopher's stone, panacea, elixir of life. What is this? So many medicines and so many things. One we should take should be all right for everything. Only one. You go to the pharmacy, you'll have only one there. Whoever goes, whatever may be the problem, he will give you that medicine only. How nice it would have been. But what would have happened to pharmacists, doctors, and all these big companies? So, this is the question. What is that knowing which everything in the world becomes known? Please memorize that question. In the same word, not just the meaning of it. The same words. What is it? What is that knowing which everything in the world becomes known? So this is the question. This person who is asking had heard about it. We can guess that. Sometimes this thought crossing the mind. Or legends, you know, some such thing was there, like our mythological stories or these fairy tales. Everyone lived for happily forever and ever. When we hear such things, can there be a place like that? Even serious thinking people. Or when we are in trouble, if there's a place is there, how nice it would be. We daydream such things. Or popularly people talk about. We just sometimes say, oh, it's a popular idea. It may not be true. It's a popular idea. People talk about this, you know. Popularly they talk about, like children's talk or imaginary things. People write novels and poetries, fictions. Is it a fiction or true? So, like that, this idea must have gone on, you know, moving around everywhere, people talking about, or here, there. He might have thought, or he might have heard, or if there is there anything like that? So he's asking the teacher, sir, what is that by knowing which everything in the world becomes known? First is, does such a thing exist? Can there be anything like that? Can there be anything? One basis for all sciences. Brahma vidyam, sarva vidya pratishtam. For everything there is only one. Can there be anything like that? That unity, one. Can there be anything like that? When we see the variety everywhere, so many different things going on in this world, can there be one common basis for all these things? It is very difficult to imagine that. So many varieties. Even a simple thing you take, like when you are seeing the pictures in National Geographic or somewhere, so many. They all say the basic colors are how many?
Three or four?
Three colors. Can it be like that? Huh? Or you say, this much I know, don't ask me more about computer science. Everything been 1 plus 0 or something?
One and zero.
Can one and zero do all these things? For a lay person, uninformed person, uninitiated person, it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. From that, it create what a big language, computer language they have created in that. Is it possible? Now, even such things, we wonder at it, you know. Wonder at that. It said, why 1 plus 0? 1 is enough. 0 is not necessary. 0 is not necessary. 1 is enough. 1 is enough. That from that 1, this is, he wants to know that. Why any kind of 2, the dual, 1 should be enough. So I heard like that. There is something like that. What is that? What is that knowing which everything is? What is that one? And it goes on. That one is not like 1 plus 0 or this or like that. If you know this, then all bondages will go. All fetters will be broken and you will become free. There's no bondage afterwards. When bondage is not there, all the weakness will go. And then all the barriers will go. So when the barriers go, you become bigger and bigger, bigger and bigger. You become the infinite. When the barriers go, when you are alone, one only. That language is also there, kaivalya, aloneness, going to aloneness. Any kind of double or two is a problem. Even very good two people, one becomes a problem to the other. So goodness is not enough. So aloneness. One alone has the real benefit, real thing is one alone. Real. That is why all this extolled joy, real love, is only when you are one. Move towards that. Is there any such state? Yes, 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 they say. There is a state like that. There is a state of, put a state of consciousness where you are completely free. Your love is free from any kind of boundary. Your knowledge is infinite knowledge. Your bhuma, your infinite, no finiteness. Wherever there is, when you are finite, you will be in trouble. And then you are subject to death. That means, whenever there is a boundary, there is all the possibility of that boundary going and another boundary coming like that. So the boundaries are there. All those boundaries will go. Wherever there is any boundary, what is that? Yavai bhumata nalpe sukha. There is no sukha. There is no joy there. There is no ananda there. There is a boundary. So, boundaryless state is only this, when you are alone, one without a second, if you want to say, in other Upanishads, one without a second. No boundary anywhere. That is our freedom. That is our infinite. So that is one. And what is that by knowing which everything in the world becomes known? I want to know that. What is it? Tell me, what is that? So then he answers. He starts the answer is a long answer. Though the question is a small question, short, long answer afterwards. There is a small answer too. Afterwards is all condensed afterwards. Tatra apara rigvedo yajurvedaha samavedo atharvavedaha shiksha kalpo vyakaranam niruktam chando jyotishamiti athapara yatha tadaksharamam adhigamyate. Now let us begin, he is telling. Let us begin. There are two types of knowledge. All whole knowledge he is putting under two heads only. All different branches of knowledge in this world are that are going to come. He says this computer science, it came only recently, in the 70s. Like that, how many more sciences are going to come? Who knows? You say computer science is very vast and very recent, it's become very big now. One day it will become obsolete. Like ordinarily when you say the old branches of knowledge, this also will become expansive and then deep knowledge. So many, there is no limitation at all. So many, many more things will come. Can we generalize them all and put in one pocket, one pigeonhole? All those things, whatever is going to come, it will be from that. That is what Swamiji says more than one place. These Vedic rishis were very good at generalization. Very good at generalization. Putting all together, this is one. The lower knowledge and the higher knowledge. That's all. What is the lower knowledge? Consider study of the Rig Veda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda, phonetics, the code of rituals, grammar, etymology, metrics, and astronomy. That's all he stopped there. At that time, probably those were the main branches. More branches are given in Chandogya Upanishad, there the student goes, Narada goes to Sanat Kumara, and then the teacher asks, what have you read? So he, then known language, then known branches of knowledge, he put all these things. Mathematics also put in that. So all these knowledge, put computer science too there, all these. And theoretical knowledge of, one teacher makes a comment, they're bold enough to say, so honest, even the study of the mere intellectual study of the scripture comes under that. Say Bhagavad Gita I study, Upanishad I study, Yoga, Yoga Shastra I study, and all these things I study very well. I take a PhD. Say PhD in Vedanta. All right, very good, you have done. But that also comes under lower knowledge. You are not in a better position than others as far as spiritual life is concerned, simply because you have a PhD in Vedanta. It is that. All this theoretical knowledge comes, it consists of study of all these. This is lower knowledge. What is the higher knowledge? Now the higher knowledge is that by which the imperishable is attained. That knowledge which brings you this freedom. The imperishable. What is the word? Obvious. This cinema does not, of course, exhaust the field of lower knowledge. It includes everything that's not directly connected with the attainment of self-knowledge. Tad aksharam adhigamyate. That means, whatever brings you that knowledge, it is that. That is paravidya, the higher knowledge. We'll continue next time. It's tomorrow. This is the introduction of this Upanishad. It's a very, very important and interesting Upanishad. Very direct. These two Upanishads, Katha Upanishad and Mundaka Upanishad, they're very direct and then clear. All right, now you say something.
Swami, according to all the Upanishad writers, the science is considered to be the science of achieving the higher knowledge. That's what they consider to be the science.
What is science? What is that?
So you explained that the science, right, the all the sciences are combined in one.
Well, branches of knowledge, put it, science means. Branch of knowledge. The Sanskrit word vidya.
And that is the vidya of knowing the higher self. That's all. That's how they define it.
No, sarva vidya. Yes. See, there are two different branches, that's all. One is all these. All this aparavidya. The lower knowledge is this. Material sciences and then all physical sciences, including the study of the scriptures, all included in that. Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharvaveda, all this. That is the theoretical knowledge, intellectual knowledge of all that. That is lower knowledge. Higher knowledge is that knowledge, actually spiritual experience.
Yeah, which is beyond mind.
The knowledge that brings that experience.
So So they can be considered as one which is only comprehended by mind, other which is beyond mind comprehension. That's what it appears.
That comes as a result of spiritual discipline and spiritual experience. What is that is going to tell us?
So, I mean, any Upanishads, they talked about the lower senses?
No, this is the speciality of the Upanishads.
Okay.
See, the subject matter of all Upanishads, in fact, Upanishad means, the word Upanishad means that, deep. Sometimes it is translated as what happened? Umesh head. That thing. Every Upanishad means that knowledge. It is translated, some people in some places translate as secret knowledge. Secret, Swamiji says, it's sacred knowledge, that's all. Subtle, what is secret? Secret of this, secret of work, secret of this, means what is the, what do you mean by secret? How do you translate that? Huh? No. I say, what is the secret of work? The meaning or?
Essence.
The meaning, huh?
Essence.
What is that?
Essence.
Yes, what is the essence, the meaning of that?
That's
the sacred knowledge, that is Upanishad. Each Upanishad presents it in its own way. The variety of that. In the Ishavasya Upanishad, it is the substratum, the ground of everything. Ishavasya Upanishad, Jagat, Jagannatha, it is Jagannatha, Ranganatha, you heard of that. It is the platform on which the whole world is manifested. It is in that sense, Isha, he is the Lord, cover everything with the Lord. That is the language that's open, that Upanishad. Kena Upanishad, what is it that impels the mind and everything? Which is the mind of the mind? Ear of the ear? Eye of the eye? What is that? That is the Atman. From the Atman, on the whole strength, we talk about strength. Where is it coming from? Atmana Vindatevi, it is coming from the Atman. That is the language of the Kena Upanishad. And then Katha Upanishad, is there anything after death? Anything surviving or everything is gone? No. Atman is there. Immortal. Immortality is the Atman. It doesn't die. So with reference to death, what can you say about the Atman? Nothing applies to the Atman. The death is for the body. So that idea, Ikeka, Prashna, Mundaka. Mundaka is this. And Mandukya, it is the fourth, Turiya. Turiya is the witness consciousness, that which is aware of waking state, dreamless state, all that. There is a state in all of us which sees all these things going on. Ever awake. There is no sleep there. Ever awake. Buddha, Prabuddha, Sambuddha, that's the language. It is awake. Question of, it is in the language of awareness or awakened state. So, Atman is seen in that context. And then in other Upanishad, and it comes to Chandogya Upanishad, where is it, what is that, thou art that, you are that. That is the language there. So each Upanishad has its own presentation. That makes it very interesting. Same idea, you may say, what is the same idea is talking? That is true. Referring to the same one.
From
different ways of looking at it. Yes, as long as it is talking about, yes, this comes under Atharva Veda. This is Atharva Veda.
Why are Upanishads considered aparavidya? Because they are talking about aparavidya.
Talking about? Talking is not enough. It is just like talking about something else. When we are studying all this, it is aparavidya, when you are doing the lower knowledge. But supposing after this, when we sit for meditation, you have the touch of the spirit, that is paravidya has come there. Paravidya has come. Prashna Mundaka, they go together, same, similar.
But is it in the 10 important?
Oh, yes. Prashna Mundaka, yes.
So, what about the Mahanarayana?
Mahanarayana doesn't come under this category, no. In Mahanarayana, Lord, most of it is used in so many rituals. The mantras are there, used for the rituals. And the other side, philosophical side, spiritual side also is there, Mahanarayana.
Is there any particular reason why these 10 or 12 something?
Particular reason, only reason we get is Shankaracharya wrote commentary on this. They were all scattered here, there. They had become obscure. At that time, Shankaracharya brought them out, wrote the commentary, and then gave a status to them. And the Bhagavad Gita too. That is why his commentary, his classification, all have assumed such important place in Vedantic history. Even others, and they differed from him, you know, dualistic philosophers and others, they all had to take this as the basis. In almost all of them, either they support Shankaracharya or oppose Shankaracharya, that's all. One of them. Anyway, he is the center anyway. Shankara is the center.
So in business term, they call it platform of discussion.
Yes, he is the platform. He's the platform. That is why, you know.
Is it because of the short life that he could only use 12 of the Upanishads because he couldn't get to the
others? Oh, we can't say that. See, for these people, just mere this life, short life, long life, doesn't mean much. And he has written so many things. He traveled all over India so many times. At least once he didn't, if he had not travelled, he would have written all the other things.
His writing was done by 16.
By?
His writing of the Bhashyas was done by the time he was 16.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. 16 years he had finished. The other 16 he preached.
Swami, one thing, these Upanishads are taken from different portions of the Vedas, right?
Yes.
End
of the Veda. That's why it's called Vedanta.
Right. So one other question comes to me. There were three portions of the Arankyas were the ritualistic side and some were the actual philosophical side in Vedas, right, Swami?
Arankyas.
Swami, did he classify them accordingly or he combined
who?
Shankara.
No, he did not do that.
He didn't do that.
See, he's in from the Vedic point of view. His contribution was this: the ritualistic state had become very prominent. Very prominent. So Shankaracharya had to consider that ritualistic side and going to heaven and then coming. It's all getting caught in that. That is why in his commentaries we find how he argues against them, how they are very limited. He doesn't condemn completely these rituals. He says, even if you want to do as a help, do it, he had said, with knowledge and meditation you do the scripture, the rituals. Then they will become, it will become a help to our Atman realization. But when you are, if you are very serious, drop them. That is, he is very, very emphatic about dropping all the rituals.
But Swami, even when we do the meditation, we do certain ritualistic. Right?
Huh?
Even when we do the meditation, we do some ritualism, right?
What is that?
To prepare ourselves for meditation, Swami.
See, here, ritual is, it's a very, when you say ritual, karma, it is some of the external observations, it's kamya karma, with selfish desires behind, I want to get this, I want to get that, I want to go to heaven, it is that kind of ritual. And then he wanted to separate this Vedanta, this knowledge portion from that. So that is why he wrote commentaries on the Upanishads. There he brings out all these ideas. He had to argue with these ritualists and then the those who followed the degenerated form of Buddhism. And then the logicians. Logicians. Perverted logicians, he says. Kutarkikaha. Perverted logicians. You know, somehow, like, I hope there is no lawyer here. Through their, this, intellectual powers, willpower and all that. So, twist things and try to establish his or her own point of view. It is that kutarkikaha. Really, it is not reasonable. Really, it is not true. But he can make it. Black is there. No, it is grey. It is white. I can shout or I can bring arguments and all that, see that it is accepted by others. Such people, you had to face them. And always the materialists. I don't believe in any of these things. Your God, your spiritual life, this, I don't believe in it. This world is all in all for me. They are charvakas, materialists. So he had to counter all these people.
Was that the spirit in which they were written?
Pardon?
Was that the spirit in which the commentaries were written? If he wrote them by the
no, whenever it was necessary, he had to see in the commentary he brings, not that he was doing all those things, he poses all these questions to himself.
That's what I...
Yes, poses.
But he was asking himself.
Yes, in the commentary it is like that. Okay. It is not any... It is not a report of a... like a court or somewhere, you know, or a seminar. It's not a report of a seminar. It is not that.
So he was self-questioning. I didn't understand because the way it was presented, it sounded like he was responding to...
It is not a report of that. Supposing that there is a question like that, see, there is another way of looking at it. In our minds, even we are spiritual seekers, some questions come. What a Buddhist would have asked, my mind asks. What a materialist asks, my mind asks. What a logician asks, my mind asks that question. What will you do? How do you answer that? This is a help to that. Our own conditions of mind, we are in different conditions of mind. Sometimes we are in a very doubting mood. What is there in all these things? What is there? These are all theoretical. They're all theoretical. Such moods come. So these are the answers that Shankara gives for when we are in that mood. The idea is this. This is true under all circumstances. Whatever may be the mood, whoever may be the opponent, this is it. This is it. The idea of the Atma, idea of the Atman, what is it by knowing which you know everything? It is this. Whatever may be the, you may look at it from any point of view, this is the truth. That's what's called truth of truth.
Is Shankara looked upon as a, in India or whatever, as a philosopher or as a holy man, or how is he viewed?
All. He's a philosopher, a holy man, a mystic.
Incarnation too.
No, that is, we go to another level.
Mm-hmm.
call him a knower of Brahman. Knower of Brahman, a great reformer in religious matters, and a philosopher, a commentator.
He was not
monastic.
He was
yes. Yes. He was a monastic, out and out. Out and out monastic. Even there, he organized the monks, his monks. He made an organization. And then he established monasteries, four corners of India. He established, even now they are existing. And he wrote commentaries on books. He wrote original books. What Swamiji says about him, the intellect of the boy of 16 is a wonder of the modern world. How he could do in 16 years. So he is all these. He is a great figure in the history of Vedanta.
And he wrote songs and poems too.
Yeah. Huh? Songs?
Poems.
Oh, poems, yes, yes. Some of the hymns are full of devotion and knowledge. His Sanskrit, very chaste and very poetic. We studied, you know, that Vivek Chudamani is one of the samples. All this highest philosophy of non-dualism, practice of non-dualism, the experiences there, they're all put in such simple language. And Sanskrit students know it is a beautiful Sanskrit as a piece of literature. We all come from this, that only, yes.
Yeah, same tradition.
Right, this paravidya can only be conveyed by a guru, a teacher to it.
That's what has happened, yes.
It can work on any book.
Later on it says, it'll come there. This one, even though you're a great scholar, you know everything, it should be learned from the teacher only. Because of this, you know, it is like becoming a doctor. You know, I read all the books and all that, I'll try to practice. No. You have to do the practicals and then you have to learn from other doctors and all that. So then only we'll learn the practical side of it. Otherwise it will become aparavidya only. You know, all the books in the medical books if you read. It's a very practical science. Anushthana Vedanta, it's a practical Vedanta.
On what? Where else would we be finding this type of teaching? In, let's say, in the Gita.
No, he did a commentary on the Gita.
Yes, his commentary, Gita commentary is there.
What there is to learn in here about Brahman and oneness?
That's
where
you're
else is that?
Gita, even the second chapter you will get.
Okay.
Second chapter.
So, it's always interesting to
that is the second chapter is called Jnana Yoga, Sankhya Yoga.
So yeah. I wonder if you could help me understand.
No, first let us concentrate on Mundaka now.
Well,
not on Gita now.
But the question I have is, what special, is there something that you could clarify that's very particularly unique about what Shankara added to that?
Added to what?
To what's in the Gita, or by his commentary.
No, it is Gita. See, he has commented in this context on Mundaka Upanishad. You stick to that. Don't bring in Gita. Comparative study between Gita and Mundaka Upanishad, we're not making that now. Don't go to that.
What he says...
Now, let us focus on what Mundaka Upanishad says. That is reference how all the Upanishads talk about this knowledge. That is why I gave the reference to other Upanishads. Because he was great.
What's great?
Greatness is, he asked this question. That's why he's great. He asked this beautiful question. All householders don't ask this question. Shaunaka.
What are the qualifications for asking questions?
It is like this. They should be really interested in this. They should be really interested and asking questions. It should not be just for curiosity's sake. Knowledge seeker, jignasu, should be a knowledge seeker. I want to know. I want to understand. Swamiji is one ideal student in that. There is one conversation between Swamiji and him. See, when Swamiji used to argue and fighting all the time intellectually, see, I want to understand this. I want to understand. That is why he was doing that. So that attitude of, is in the Sanskrit text and all, it is called jignasu. Jignasu is one who desires to know. I want to know. See, he is asking that question, what is it by knowing which you know everything? I want to know that. I want to understand. No, when the strong desire is there, it will enter into life. Because these questions are pertaining to life. Pertaining to life. That is what happens, you know. The discussions and then intellectuality, they'll all will be there, but they're not really interested in living the life. They're pundits. That's why Sri Ramakrishna always said, reading is all these are all right, but along with that you should have discrimination and dispassion. Spiritual practices must be there along with that. When you are, in Vedantic texts they discuss this, who is qualified to understand this? Who is qualified to study this? There, all this, he should be a spiritual seeker. He should be interested in spiritual life.
One question comes in spiritual study.
Huh?
One question comes, like, the Kriyanandaji, he went Holy Maharaj, he kept reading books and then he had to come back to Thakur to, you know, and he cried. Said, I'm reading all this, but really, so my question is, at the end, do you still, you need some kripa or something, some grace, or not?
You see, if you bring in the idea of grace, that is necessary for all, for everything, and it is there. Grace side is always there. Sri Ramakrishna says, you know, breeze of divine grace is always blowing, is always there. It is you, we who don't turn towards that, that's all. We don't unfurl the sail. These are all for unfurling the sail, the spiritual practices. That is always there. We don't open up. Who is the one?
I mean, in the sense, the question of doership.
You and me. You and I, we are the ones. The spiritual seeker.
So in a way, grace is the one that is actually slowly or speedily, whichever way, working to help the spiritual aspirant.
Who?
In a way, can we say that it is actually God's grace which enables the spiritual aspirant to be prepared
That is behind everything. You don't have to mention a particular thing. But everything God's grace behind must be there. Even when you say, I am that, I am the Spirit, God's grace must be there. That is behind all. So that is there. Thus said, now do what you have to do. That is the style of the Upanishads and other things, teachers. That is there. You can count on that. It's always there. Now from your side, let it come. Unfurling the sail, you do that. The wind is always blowing. Then what happens is grace and higher spiritual life, they become more and more subtle, more inward. We can't understand and explain as 1 + 1 = 2 like that, not so mechanical or gross, you know. At that time discussion becomes less and less. Shravana, manana become more important. Reflection becomes more important and at that time. Grace is one such. We want to explain grace through, it doesn't come like, you know, a philosophical proposition. Like that you can't discuss grace. It doesn't lend itself to that kind of logic, and that's why it's ahetuka. It is beyond logic, beyond reason. But a spiritual seeker feels in the depths of one's heart. So like that, slowly, 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 inwardly, it has to come. That is grace. Though it is mentioned here and there, we can't take it up and in-depth study of that. Intellectually, I don't know. All right, we have begun. And we'll close very soon. We get only three more sittings. All right, let us go and have some refreshments and then come back for meditation.